And you may be seated. D.L. Moody, one of the great preachers of the past, made a statement. And he said this: "The worst man that ever crossed my path is D.L. Moody, the old man. I have more trouble with him than with all the world beside." Moody said, "You know, my biggest problem is me." It is. You know who your biggest problem is? Don't look to your right or left. Your biggest problem is you. That's my problem. My problem, and I know what we do. We like to blame everybody else. But the biggest problem we have is ourself. You say, "Well, if I just had a better husband." No, you have a responsibility to God. You are the problem. "Well, if I had a better wife." No, you are the problem. Now, I'm not saying that it's all right for a husband to be the wrong type of husband, the wife be the wrong type of wife, but I'm saying this: it is all our responsibility. Our problem is this old flesh that we live in. That's our problem. And here's the reason why. It's because when we got saved, and I believe when you get saved, you are saved eternally. Amen. When we got saved, we got eternally saved, but our body's not. Right. You say, "Well, preacher, what are you talking about? This old body will not be in heaven. This body's going to return to dust. We're getting a new body." Now, why would we get a new body if these bodies are all right? They're not all right. They're sinful. We fight them, and surely we should. I guess sometimes people don't fight it. They go and they pamper it. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body, and that'll be a wonderful thing. And we think of that, well, it'll be a great thing because the new body, because we'll have no more sickness. And I would say amen to that. I mean, I'm glad, you know, for the bodies that we can get well. But yet I know that in these bodies you can get well from one thing one minute and get sick with something else the next minute. The body. And I'm looking forward. We get a new body. We'll not have any sickness. They'll be going in heaven. We'll not go to the hospital. There'll be no funerals there. Thank the Lord for that new body. But here's the thing. I'm thankful for getting a new body, not just for that. I'm glad in heaven where I won't have to fight with this flesh. You know, flesh will look for every way we can to stay away from the things of God. Well, you know, "I'm tired." Well, who isn't? Mm-hmm. "Well, you know, preacher, I'm busy." It's amazing. We'll do what we want to do. Amen. Now, why is it we have so much trouble? It's because of this flesh that we have. And so we're going to get a new body, but until then, we're bound inside this sinful body. I have eternal life. I'm saved. When I die, we'll have that funeral, and that body will be there, but we will not be there. This body is sinful. It always has been. And, you know, we were born this way. That's why I say so oftentimes, we never have to teach our children to do wrong. We have to always teach them to do right. Because inherently, we are sinful because we have this flesh. Now, when God created man, I believe God created man in innocence and righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image." Well, that's something. And he went on and said, "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Well, thank the Lord, I believe God made Adam and Eve. They were sinless at first. They didn't sin. There they were in that garden, beautiful garden, how wonderful that was. And they had not sinned one time, but what happened? They sinned. We all know the story. The children know the story of Adam and Eve and how that they took the bite of that forbidden fruit. I know everybody says apples, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. The forbidden fruit. God told them not to eat of that fruit of that tree, and they did. And what happens, man became, I guess we could kind of put it this way, man became deformed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord had commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." What happens? We know that death passed upon all man, for that all have sinned. We know that death comes because of the sin of man in the garden of Eden. Then we read in Romans chapter 5, keep your place in Galatians there, but turn back with me to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, we'll go to verse number 12. The Bible tells us about what we are. I know a lot of times we like to brag on how good we are, but really what it is, I said, the title of my message is the stinking flesh, and that's what it is. It stinks. The Bible says, verse 12 of chapter 5, Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that all have sinned." It's pretty clear, isn't it? We're all sinners, and because of one man's sin. Verse 13, "For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from," notice this, "Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." That we know because of one man's sin, back to verse number 12, that entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, that everybody, we sin because Adam and Eve sinned. We inherited that. That's why I say sin is inherent. That we inherited that. The little children, I'm telling you, sweet as they are. I got to see our new little granddaughter, and I looked, and I was holding her yesterday, and she just really loved it when I was holding her. But I was holding her in my arm, and I looked at that, and I thought, boy, what a sweet little girl. Do you know what she's going to do? She's going to sin. You know why? The Herman blood. That's what it is, right? No, you know why she's going to sin? Because she's human. I mean, you look at her right there and you think, man, I mean, there's nothing more pure and sweet as a little baby. Just stop and think, she's going to sin. Oh, you say, oh, no, those look at, no, they do. We all understand that. Sometimes, in church and that, we get to see the kids on their good behavior, don't we? You better be good. Preacher's looking at you. We watch the kids and they learn a good behavior, but I'll tell you this right now, that every child sins. And we get that inherently from Adam. And so because of that sin, what happened? Adam died physically. In Genesis chapter 5, it tells us the age of Adam, 930 years, but he died spiritually, though, in Genesis chapter number 3. Now, he lived a long time after that sin, and God said, "You're surely going to die," and he did. Didn't mean that he was going to die the moment he took the bite of that fruit. But God said, "You're going to die," and Adam did, and it's passed upon all men. We're all going to die. Us older folks, what do? We read the paper, and what's one of the parts we read? The obituary. I don't get the Altoona Mirror, but I cheat online. I look at it, and they give you a little bit of it, and if you want to see more of it, they want you to buy a subscription, but I'm too cheap. And so I look there, and then, of course, you get the shoplifter's guide, and the shopper's guide for the rest of you folks, but you know what I'm talking about, and I look at that, and I see all the obituaries. And I look, and you know what? I've not found anybody that lived much over a couple hundred years. I need to read it again, all right? But what I did, I added them all up. But most of them under 100 years old. I think I've seen a few years over 100. But I understand that because the Bible says, "Appointed unto man wants to die," and we're going to die. Why? Because of sin. And, of course, Adam spiritually died in Genesis chapter number 3, and then what had to happen, there had to be some blood shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The Bible tells us that. There has to be blood shed. You say, what blood was shed in the Garden of Eden? God gave them coats of skin. That means that some animal gave of their blood. There was a sacrifice all through the Old Testament. You find the sacrifice of the lamb and the bullock and the different animals there. There was sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Jesus, God was showing there in the Garden of Eden what had to happen about our sin. There had to be a blood sacrifice. And so what happens, man is transformed by the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ by putting our faith in the gospel of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So what happens now when we get saved, there's something new in our lives. There's a new man. A new part of us. And there's that spiritual person. And we're transformed. And the problem though is that something still remains. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 52. I think we read this maybe last week, I'm not sure. I was just recently. Look what it says here, and it says, "In a moment," this is verse 52, "in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound," looking forward to that, "and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's this flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What's going to happen one of these days? We are going to have a new body. Look at verse 54 here. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? In victory. There's victory there. Now, death will come upon us. Why? Because of man's sin. And there's no victory because of that unless that we've trusted Christ. And then one of these days we'll be released from this old body of sin. We'll not have to fight it anymore. This stinking flesh will be left behind, thank the Lord. And so it's important for us to understand this. And if we don't understand and grasp this thought and these truths that we're just talked about here, then I believe that we're in for defeat. It's a sad thing Christians are so defeated today. I mean, our churches, you know, our fundamental Baptist churches ought to be jam-packed. They ought to be packed. You know, the problem is sin. Sin. Now, I understand people get sick. I understand that. I understand that we get sicknesses, we can't do things. But the fact of the matter is, many times when we can do what's right, we don't do what's right. And the problem is that we get defeated because of the flesh that we have. Our flesh says, I don't want to, but we've got to grow up and understand that we've got to not let our flesh guide our lives. You know, see, the fact of the matter is, I don't know if people really understand this sometimes, but the fact of the matter is there's a war going on. And it's not in Washington. You know where the war's going on? Right here in us. There is the flesh. You remember the cartoons when we were kids? Remember there was a little angel on one shoulder, a little devil on the other shoulder? And I think it was Popeye. They would always come around Popeye, I think. You know, remember Popeye? He was that guy that kind of looked like me, strong. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, you're strong. I smelled you. But there was an angel on one side and a devil on the other side, and they'd whisper in his ear. That's kind of what goes on in our life. I know that was a cartoon, but really that's kind of what goes on. Before we were saved, we just had the devil on the shoulder. We got saved. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Now there's a battle that goes on, a war that's going on. We're so, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we're really worried about Iran and what's going to happen. We ought to be a little bit more concerned about what's going on in our own life. You know, people could really be upset and say, man, I'll tell you what, I hate what's going on there. And I'll tell you what, if Iran tries to bomb us, we're going to do something. Why don't you just sit down and examine yourself and see who has victory in your life, you, the Spirit of God, or the flesh, you. Flesh has got the control of so many people today. They just care less for the things of God. Always looking for a way out. You see, the enemy is among us. Now don't go looking around unless you got a mirror in your pocket. And then look in the mirror. Where's the enemy? Right there. This flesh. I fight it. You say, you pastor, you fight it? I fight it. And I'll tell you this right now, and if I don't fight it, I won't be pastor of a church. We all need to understand we've got to fight this battle. You say, well, I just don't, you know, I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to fight. And you know what's going to happen? Your flesh is going to walk all over you. Right. The enemy is among us, and that's that flesh. And sadly, many times we just feed it and we pamper it. I don't feel like it. Where's that feeling come from? Spirit or the flesh? Right. Flesh. Right? Right? Yeah. That's where it's coming from. So we see some things about the flesh. One of the things we see about the flesh is the depravity of the flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. In fact, let's look at it. You need to see this, all right? Instead of just looking at me, we'll look at what Scripture says, all right? Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh. Dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In other words, say, you know, I really know. And I know, you know what? We know what we should do. But the stinking flesh gets in the way. And I don't want to. Somebody hurt my feelings. Well, you know, I just don't. No, we need to look and see what does God have to say about it. And understand this, in our flesh, the Bible says this, dwelleth no good. That's why I have a hard time stomaching when people say, well, I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. It just about makes me sick. Because I know how this flesh is. You know, it'd be like saying, I'll tell you what, I don't need a well, I got a septic tank. Huh? Is there a difference? You don't want to drink out of that septic tank, do you? No, you don't want to do that. And it's how we say, I think I'm good enough, looking at a septic tank, saying that's good enough for me. No, this flesh. The Bible says no good thing. I'd have to say this, I don't think you'll find any good thing in that septic tank either. Right. You say there might be something. No, let me tell you, if it's in the septic tank, it's tainted. And this old flesh is tainted, and it got tainted a long time ago by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we inherited that old flesh. We have that flesh. We're born with that. Every little child and every one of us adults today have that problem with the flesh, the depravity. And because of that, we're capable of doing all kinds of things. So I would never do that. You better be careful what you say. There's also not only the depravity of the flesh, but there's the deception of the flesh. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I think I'm pretty good. You know, in my heart, I just feel like this. No, your heart, be careful about trusting your heart. But God's word says it's desperately wicked. Now, that's not the Baptist preacher saying that. That's what God says it is. That's the way we are. And we go, I just, in my heart, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. And then all of a sudden someone says, but the Bible says, you go, but in my heart, I just have a peace. You may have a peace about it, but if it's contrary to the word of God, it's not God's real peace. It's that stinking flesh. The deception. Fact of the matter is, the flesh can never be trusted. You know, as kids, didn't most all of us, probably every one of us did this before. We told our parents, trust me, Mom and Dad. Trust me. You know, before I had a car, and I said, Dad, can I use the car? He said, I want you to drive careful, drive slow. Trust me, Dad. And I got behind the wheel of that car, and I had a 396 turbojet. You don't drive them slow. And I'd get in that car, and I would back out of the driveway so nice, and I'd pull away from the house so nice. But that old stinking flesh said, stomp on it when I got down the road, huh? That's the way we are. This old flesh just works on us. And you know what? It's deceiving. And this old heart, we talk about our heart. Well, you know, I just feel like it's all right. But we deceive. We're being deceived. And the Bible said, desperately wicked, who can know it? Oh, trust me. I can't trust me. You can't trust me. You can't trust your children. Children can't trust everybody. You know why? We're out of flesh. I know my kids will always, they'll just do what's right. Man, they got you fooled. You know, rip that page out of your Bible, just rip it right out because, you know, evidently the Bible's wrong. No, the Bible tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked. You say, not my kids, your kids and my kids. My grandkids, your grandkids. That's the way that is. That's what the Bible says. The flesh cannot be trusted. Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:11, it says this, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. The flesh, it deceives us. You know, we say, well, I can handle it. How many people have fallen into all kinds of bad stuff because they thought they could handle it? You know, how many people have fallen off, you know, gone to the Grand Canyon and try to stand and take a picture on a on a cliff? And then try to take a selfie. It'd be the last picture they ever have of themselves. And all of a sudden, you know, they would never fallen off that cliff if they hadn't got up close to it. Well, trust me, I believe I'm all right. I'm all right. No, we're not all right. Why? We live in flesh. We live in flesh. Sometimes parents open the door for our kids to get all kinds of problems because we say, well, we trust them. But the fact of the matter is, not a parent in the world ought to trust themselves. All of us have to be on our toes. Right. Oh, not me. Oh, I know. You got little angel wings and a halo on top of your head. You bought them at Walmart, though. Right. They're not from God. Amen. No, Oh, but preacher, my family is different. My kids are different. My grandkids are different. No, they're no different than anybody else's kids.
Right.
Because we're all made out of that same flesh. As wonderful as our kids are, they all live in flesh. These boys on the front row are just as good as can be. I'm telling you what, it's almost not right they're being so good. But you know what? Thank the Lord they're being good, but in that front row is a potential for very bad things. Because they're living in flesh. You know, we have this idea, well, you know, they're all right. Then let me ask you this. How is it then that little girls grow up in Sunday school and they even go to the Christian school, and then all of a sudden one day they're expecting and they're not married?
Right.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question here for you, but I don't mean it. I mean it in a spiritual sense. How does that happen? The flesh. Those cute little kids that go to, little boys that go to church, and they're wonderful, and they sing in the choir, and boy, I tell you, we just love them to death, and we should, but they live in flesh.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one day, they're fighting with the girl that has their children,
mm-hmm.
trying to get them on weekends. How does that happen? Flesh. We're made out of flesh. Now, I'm not here to try to shame anybody. I'm just trying to say, you know what? Something ought to scare us, and it's not the Democrats tonight. It's that what we live in, this flesh.
Amen.
How many times kids get in the wrong crowd because parents say, well, I trust them. And the kids say, trust me, Mom and Dad. Let me ask you something. How many of you in here, you always did what was right? I'm waiting. Why didn't we always do what's right? We live in flesh.
Right.
What makes you think now your kids will always do what's right?
Right.
My mom, us boys, when we get back together, we go out in Indiana, back when Mom and Dad were around, and we'd sit there, and four boys, you can imagine the stories we had. And I don't know how many times, I wish I had a dime for every time my mom would say this, I never knew that. And we said, we didn't want you to know. Because we figured now we're big enough, she can't spank us. She's had a stroke, she can't do it. And we would say, and Tim would come and say, do you remember, Mark, when we did this? You know, it's like remember I told you the thing, and my son still says, I can't believe you did it, Dad. But that time that my Uncle Bob took us out, and we went on a winter time, it's Christmas time, and we went out to the mall, and the mall was all closed up, and the parking lot was all full of snow. And he had his Ford, and we went around doing donuts. And that was a fun thing to do. And then he said this, hey, you guys want to ski? I said, yeah. He said, get out and hold on to the bumper. And we got out, and we held on to the bumper, and we skied in that parking lot. I mean, in fact, what happened was on our way home, we were like two blocks away from home, and we said, hey, Uncle Bob, can we ski again? He goes, yeah, I think it'll be all right. And so we got out of the car, and down the street, we were skiing. And you know what he said? He said, don't tell your mom and dad. And we didn't. You know why? Because next time Uncle Bob came by, we wanted to go skiing again. You say, that was a dangerous thing. I know, but you know what? My flesh said it's going to be fun. It wouldn't have been fun, though, if we got run over. It was a dangerous thing. We laugh about it now, but I remember my mom would say, I didn't know you did that. And then Dave would tell a story, and she goes, Dave, I didn't know you did that. And Tim would tell a story, and John would tell a story. And I would say, Mom, I just read my Bible all my teenage years. Yeah. We'd tell stories. My mom said, I never knew. You know what? Your mom and dad probably didn't know some things in your life either. You know that. Now, here's the thing. Why do we think all of a sudden our kids are going to be more honest than what we were? They live in the same stuff we live in.
Amen.
The flesh.
Right.
I'm not here rebuking you tonight. I'm warning you. I'm going to save you some heartache. Going to save you some problems.
Amen.
These boys on the front row would understand what we're talking about. They could grow up and be happy young men and have a happy family someday, knowing that they live in the flesh and they know it's there. And we're capable. And what God tells us here is something we ought to be careful about, that there's the deception there. Our heart's deceitful. We also know that there's the defilement of the flesh. Romans 7:17 says, "Now then, it is more I that do it. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." You know, sin defiles this old flesh. And here's the thing about it. We can't get away from the flesh. You can't live outside it. Amen. Can't live outside of it. We can't get away from this flesh. And you know what that flesh is trying to do? It's trying to destroy the spiritual man. And when you got saved, you got a spiritual part of you. Flesh don't like that. Try to destroy it. Always trying to push it down. Push it down. We said, you know what? I learned that message. I want to do it. You know what the flesh is going to say at the invitation time? Put it down. You don't need it. That'll stifle you, man. You can do whatever you want to. You're old enough. You're an adult, or you're a teenager. You can do what you want to. The flesh says, you know what? A lot of people do that. But we understand where it takes you to. It'll cause a person to do unthinkable things. And the flesh can destroy your life if you give in to it. That's the flesh. The Bible tells us there's the walk of the flesh. Go back to, if you're in Galatians chapter 5 there, go to verse number 16. The Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now what's going to happen then? "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's the flesh again. How do we deal with the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Lost man doesn't have the Spirit. All he has is the flesh. He tries to do what's right, but what happens, it doesn't work out, and he gets worse than what he was to start with. The Bible tells us that. But the thing is, we that are saved, we've got the Holy Spirit. And we're not to walk in the flesh, we're to walk in the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. The flesh is oftentimes pleasurable. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 11:25. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." No doubt, please listen to this carefully and take it in context what we're talking about. No doubt, sin has pleasures. It does. I talked with a man one time. He asked me to come talk to his wife. And I also know this, takes two to tango. Right. I went down, I said, "All right, you be there." I said, "I'll sit down and talk with y'all." And so I began to talk, and oh, she was a terrible person, he said. When I sat down, I said, "What seems to be the problem?" And he just told me how awful she was. And she says, "Well, I just get upset because I don't want to do anything because I know where he's going to be before he comes home from work." I looked at the guy and said, "Where are you going to be before you come home from work?" "The bar." I said, "What?" He says, "I stop off at the bar." And then, dummy me, I say this, "Why?" But I want him to answer me. I said, "Why?" He says, "I need a drink." And he said this to me. He said, "It calms me before I come home." You know what? It probably did. Y'all look at me like what an awful sinner I am. I believe the man was telling me the truth. It calmed him. And I've talked to several others after that. People that are saved, that they used to drink, and they used to say, they said, "Preacher, I did enjoy it. It calmed me." But ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what the Bible says about drinking? It's sin. It's sin. God says, you say, "Well, you know, as long as you don't get intoxicated," God said, "don't look on the wine while it's red, while it's moving." God didn't say, "Just don't drink it too much." And I'll never forget that. The man said, "But it made me feel good." Now, that was no excuse. I believe the woman should have been the right kind of woman, but the man should have been the right kind of man. The problem was, there was a flesh problem there. Why didn't he just come home and get into his Bible and find some comfort? Why didn't he let God calm him down before he walked? Before, if it was that, why not sit in your car and open up your Bible and read your Bible and pray a few minutes before you go in the house? Because sin is pleasurable sometimes. Why do marriages break up? Oftentimes because cheating was pleasurable. You know, they're all sad afterwards when they get caught, but I'll tell you what, you know what keeps it going? There's the pleasure. Now, please, don't go home and say, man, preacher was saying it was okay. I never said it was okay. I would just say this, what the Bible says, that sin is oftentimes pleasurable. But it is not right because it brings pleasure. Problem is that a lot of people do some things. You know, let's look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Bible says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Look at verse 22. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know what? There's a lot of folks today that will profess to be saved. Never been saved. That's why they go back to the old things. But I believe this too. We as God's people, we got to understand, this old flesh wants to go back to the vomit.
Right.
This flesh wants to go back to the mire and the mud. That's what the flesh does. That's what you say, preacher. No. That's what the flesh wants to do sometimes. And the fact of the matter is, here's how it is. It's not that the flesh says, "All right, go back to that vomit." The flesh says, "Just get away from the things of God for a little bit."
Yeah.
You know what that trail leads to? The vomit.
Right.
I know you don't like hearing that word. That might help us from eating too much when we go home. But I don't want to get on the trail to the vomit. I don't want to go back to that trail, that mud there. I know that mud and that vomit's not going to help me at all. And the devil doesn't say, well, just go jump in that mud puddle there. Just go jump in that wall around in it. That's not the way he does it. He begins to get us little bit by little bit. Stay out of church. Don't read your Bible. Don't pay attention to the preaching. Little by little gets us away. And the old flesh begins to take over. What an embarrassing time it'll be for a lot of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. Embarrassing, why? Because we allowed the flesh to lead us and guide us. You see. So we need to understand something, that is to not walk in the spirit is to walk in the flesh. God says walk in the spirit. You go, no, I'm not. Then what you're going to do? You're going to walk in the flesh. Where's the flesh going to lead you? Bad places. Instead of feeding and pampering the flesh, what we need to do is starve it and bring it under subjection. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7 says, or I'm sorry, verse number 27 says this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That body, what is it? That's that flesh. The apostle said there, I got to keep under my body. I got to keep my flesh down. I'll tell you something right now. You get out of church for a little bit, and your flesh is going to start getting some. It's going to start gaining on you. You leave your Bible sit, and the flesh will gain on you. You sit in church and don't pay attention in church, the flesh will gain on you. I'm telling you, seen it happen many a times. With this flesh, we can do some awful things to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can grieve Him. We can vex Him, and we can resist Him. Now remember, when we got saved, the Spirit of God came to live within us. And here's the flesh. There's a battle going on. And we can vex, and we can grieve, and we can resist the Holy Spirit. And Satan, of course, we know, wants us to follow the flesh, but the Holy Spirit wants us to follow Him. Now here's the thing. What will you do? We all have to make that decision. I can't make it for you. I can't say, all right, boys on the front row, I'll say follow the Spirit, but every one of you have got to make that decision. Thank God you've got parents that will guide you and try to talk to you and train you in the right way and tell you to follow the Spirit. And may I say this, you listen to them, but when it comes down to it, you have to decide. And you'll be glad you made the right decision.
Amen.
So, man, those boys ain't need it, but so do us old people.
Amen.
I get so sick and tired sometimes. What we do, we get to be senior citizens, and we think now that we're okay to live in this flesh. We're still not okay to live in this flesh. You say, but my flesh, I can't even run anymore. But I'll tell you what, we can still sin the more.
Right.
There's a war. Or that goes on. The Bible says, Romans chapter 7, in verse number 23 and 24, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We need spiritual cleansing all the time. You know, it don't take long to get dirty. You know, you say, preacher, oh, man, I can go weeks at a time without a bath. No, you probably can, but I'll tell you what, you'll make everybody around you happier if you don't. Yeah. You know, I've had kids, you know, kids go, man, I don't smell anything. You know why? Because it's your stink.
Right?
It's your stink. You know, I don't smell anything. I know you may not, just because you don't smell anything doesn't mean that you don't stink. I've got a very sensitive nose. My wife knows this. My kids know this. And probably a lot of you know this too. I got a very sensitive nose. And what I can do, I can smell stuff. Sometimes I go, "Hun, is everything okay in the oven?" She goes, "Yes." I go, I just smell something. And then all of a sudden she goes in, she goes, "Oh my." And it's a burnt offering for the Lord. Keep laughing because she's looking mean at me right now. But you know, here's the thing. I have a sensitive nose. I can smell. And I know this, that I'll go run in that shower and get cleaned up because I can smell myself sometimes. But I can smell stuff. I go, "What's that smell?" She goes, "What do you mean?" I walk in the house, I can smell something. I smell roast, right? You know, what's that smell? She goes, I put that candle on. I smell it. I smell those things. Here's the thing. You know what? We ought to start understanding that we need to be cleaned up a lot. You say, "Well, I'm clean. You know, this shirt was dirty, but I turned it inside out, and the clean side's on the outside now. Still dirty, isn't it?" Yeah. You know what? That's the way we are, this whole flesh. We get so dirty. You say, "Well, how do we get dirty?" We're living in a dirty world.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You know, kids could go out and play and they can get dirty, but us older folks could sit in a chair and get dirty too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, there's a thing, I mean, I don't know, this biology class, there's a thing called perspiration. We get dirty in this world. We need cleansing constantly from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verses 2 through 4, listen to it, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." We need to understand also the possibility of our failure. You and I can fail. You know, there's preachers sitting in jail right now. Because they felt like, because they were a pastor, that they were above this. No, they lived in flesh even though they were a pastor. There are deacons that sit in jail right now. There are church members that sit in jail and have all kinds of problems. Why? Because we live in the flesh.
Amen.
Romans 6:12, 13 and 14 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, yeah, right, preacher, I'm under grace. I'm under grace. God says, but don't let your flesh rule you. I'm glad I've got the grace of God, but I got the flesh too. I don't want it, but to get rid of it, I got to die. Or the Lord's got to come again. Understand the power of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So, well, you know what, I could do this, and I can ask the Lord to forgive me, and he'll forgive me. You know what, you're right, but don't be brought under that power. Right. Why would you get brought under the power? Flesh. I've been telling you, no, preacher, I've been saved for 80 years. Well, thank the Lord you've been saved for 80 years, but you know what? On the 81st year, you can mess up.
Right.
Because you live in flesh. And we're warned. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That was 2 Peter 3:17. We're warned. But we've got to be very careful that we don't say, well, I'm okay. Preacher, I'm okay. I didn't need this message. Yeah. You know who needed this message? Every one of us. Because we all live in the flesh. Every one of us. The Bible says, wherefore, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'll have you know, Pastor, I didn't really need that message. I'll tell you what, I am doing so well. Better take heed lest you fall.
Right.
You're about to stumble. You're going to trip right over your pride. So we go back to Galatians here and Galatians chapter 5, and the Bible talked about there about being the Spirit and not being led by the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, verse 17, the Spirit against the flesh. And then it tells us why we're so concerned about this flesh. Are you ready for it? Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, and he begins to tell us what they are. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. That's God's married people. Adultery. Fornication. We're talking there about God's single folks. Well, you're to save yourself for the one that God has for you to marry. You're to be married before you have any kind of relations. Amen. So, well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, you got to try it out. No, you don't have to try it out. You're not buying a car. What do you say? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That's thought or deed, lust, perversions. Lasciviousness, that's filthiness in thought or deed or a gesture. Idolatry. In our day, I think we'd have to say the idol of today is money.
Right.
Money's got more people out of church than probably anything else.
Amen.
Witchcraft. That'd have magic, sorcery, astrology, drugs, hallucinating things. Variance, hatred, variance, contentious, debate, quarrelsome instead of getting along. Well, I'll tell you a thing to like that today, isn't it? That's that flesh.
Right.
Emulations, that's indignations and jealousy. That's wrath, or that's what the Bible says comes from this old flesh. Strife. Strife, always fighting about something. Well, we live in a time like that. Why is it happening? That flesh.
Right.
Seditions. That's divisions or uprisings. Heresies. That's false doctrines. Boy, I've never seen such a time and so much false doctrine.
Right.
You know, a bunch of Baptist folks been watching TV instead of going to church.
Right.
Not listening to what the Bible has to say. And they listen to these folks, they get false doctrine. You say, how does that happen? Flesh.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. Envying, desiring what others have. And so many people today stealing stuff. Wow, that flesh there. Always, you know, man, it must be nice. I want what they have. It is nice, and you ought to be thankful for what you do have.
Right.
Murders, killing, destroying with words even has to do with that. I read today about a man in Chicago went and killed somebody and then went and killed somebody else and ended up killing four different people. I think the police ended up shooting him dead, and I'll tell you what, that's what he should have had done to him too. Murders, drunkenness, intoxication. Liquor flows like a river in America today. And then what's it say then? It says drunkenness and then revelings. That's carousing. That's letting yourself do whatever you want to do. See it all the time. Wait a minute. Those are some bad things, aren't they? That's what the flesh produces. You see, all I've been saying about the flesh here, warning you about it, was to keep you from doing those things. Oh, I would never do this. You know, saved people could commit adultery.
Right.
Saved young people could commit fornication.
Right.
Saved people could murder. You say, well, I don't think they were ever saved. Now, I'll be honest with you, sometimes folks do things they were never saved. But you know what? God's saying here, that flesh you and I live in is capable of doing those things.
Right.
You know, we have this idea, well, you know, my flesh it just causes me to lie once in a while. No, your flesh will cause you to do a whole lot more than that.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, I'm okay. Oh, be careful.
Right.
You may just stumble over that pride. Fall flat on your face. Saved people could end up doing some awful, awful things. Not just lost people, but saved people can. And you know what? Tonight, we ought to be glad if you're saved. You ought to be glad that you're saved. But I hope that tonight also you understand you have been warned about that flesh that you have. When we go out of here, I don't want you going around going, oh, no, I have this flesh. Here's what we do. We go out of here saying, thank the Lord for the Spirit of God that lives within me, and feed that spirit and not the flesh. And then one of these days, we'll get a new body. Amen. We'll get a new one. He said, well, you know, that's just the way I am. I hate it. I hate that.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just hate that. Well, that's just the way I am. Then you need to straighten up.
Right.
My dad used to have a way of correcting my attitude.
Right.
I could say, but that's the way I am. And he says, you know what? I'm about to make you different. Thank the Lord. So, well, I just want, no. Understand, this old flesh has got to be taken care of.
Right.
If not, it'll destroy us. You know, here we all, tonight, we sit in church, but let me tell you something. Some of you may be on the verge of doing some of those things in that list we just talked about.
Right.
You say, that would never happen. You live in the flesh that will allow it to happen. There's a war going on. Who's going to win in your life? The flesh or the spirit? The only one I can have anything to do about that, really, I can warn everybody about it, but the only one I can really control about that's me. The only one you can control about it is you. Will you do something about it tonight? And you say, well, I'm preaching, you know, I just don't agree with that. I just trust everybody. I just trust my family, trust the kids, and trust my husband, trust my wife. And I'm not saying you're going around every time, you know, if she's not home, you know, and it's 1 minute, if your husband's not home, 1 minute past time, don't all of a sudden jump to conclusion and something like that. But I'm saying this, we just all need to get to a place to understand we are capable of doing just about anything because we live in flesh. Now, you can say, I don't believe that, and you can go on your way, but you watch out what'll happen down the road. If not with you, with what will happen to your family. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you would bless what's been said here tonight. Lord, I didn't preach these things to try to hurt anybody. I preached these things to try to help everybody. Lord, what I preach tonight, I don't believe a person in this room could say that it was wrong because I gave scripture for all of it. And the fact of the matter, if we would all just be honest, we'd say, yep, the old flesh is weak. How many times we doubt because the flesh is weak? That's sin. to doubt you, not trusting you. We walk around sometimes like the sky is falling because of our lack of faith. That's that flesh getting in the way. But Lord, that flesh can take us to places we just don't want to go. Help us tonight to understand that. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this evening, maybe you're here, you're not sure you're saved. You need to trust the Lord as your Savior. Oh my, don't die and go to hell because you just thought, well, one day, or I'm good enough, nobody's good enough, and that one day may never come. But the fact of the matter is, every one of us in this room is breathing right now. And if you're here and you're not sure of salvation, today is the day of salvation. I wonder if there'd be anyone today would say, preacher, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, anyone? Preacher, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know that. Christian tonight, oh, would you please understand what you're dealing with? Yeah, you can blame everybody else you want to, but you need to be honest. Because putting the blame on somebody else won't help you. We just need to understand what we're living in this flesh. Tonight, let's ask God to help us. And may we feed the Spirit and not the flesh. Father, bless now the invitation time. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.